This is Oren Evans inviting you to join me in the Jazz Room with host Joan Watson Jones.
Welcome to the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones. Thanks for stopping by. Come in, relax, enjoy great jazz. Each week, we present the music of independent jazz artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years. And yes, of course, the legends. Today, we continue with our interview with pianist-composer Oren Evans. We met before his set at the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival. We'll talk about the meaning of a couple of songs on his CD, The Red Door, and learn more about the musicians who are on this CD with him. You're listening now to Dexter's Tune. Now, I wanted to ask you about your original music on The Red Door. Any song that comes to mind that's one of your favorites that you have written that means a lot to you?
Yep. I during the pandemic, I was blessed with two more godchildren. Let me not count, because if I say it wrong, I'll be wrong. But I think I have five godchildren that I'm counting. I had to make sure. But during the pandemic, two more were born right around the same time. My brother, Sean Jones, had a baby by the name of Phoebe. So that's Phoebe Stroll. That's a tune on the record. And then my good friend, Chris Weller, and Tina had a baby. And the baby's name is Wheezy. So they're the first two, they're on the record, and they're my original compositions written for my godchildren. So they really mean a lot to me on the record. Then there's other tunes that I didn't compose but have a lot to do with the concept of the Red Door, and that's Smoke Rings by Ralph Peterson. It was a tribute to him, who I had the pleasure of, you know, counting as a mentor and someone who's really close to me. So it was a tribute to him. And then the last tune on the record is I Feel Like I've Been Here Before, but I'm saying the name wrong. I Have a Feeling That I've Been Here Before is the name of it. And it's from a record, Carmen McRae record, called I Am Music, that a lot of people don't know about. And it is such a beautiful tune. So, and all of that is, you know, the Red Door, because on the other side of the Red Door is where I met Ralph Peterson. You know, I would have, when I saw that record, I Am Music, no one told me to listen to it. So I may have said, oh, I'm not going to pick that up. But I did, you know, and that's taking the chance. And I found that Carmen McRae tune, and I found that Carmen McRae record. So there's a lot of tunes on that record which are about just, you know, finding something that you weren't looking for. You know, I wasn't looking for those things. I wasn't looking for two more God children, but I was blessed with it. And you find those things. I wasn't looking for Ralph Peterson, but I'm happy I found him and took that opportunity to get to know him.
Tell us about some of the musicians on this project with you.
That also goes to the Red Door. They're what my big brothers. You know, Ralph passed away before the record, but included in that journey of getting to know my big brothers and mentors, that's Gene Jackson, who's on the record on two tracks. He's on the two tracks that feature Wallace Roney, and it was Wallace's last recording. He recorded it and passed away 2 weeks after, because we recorded it the day of the shutdown for COVID. We recorded the record that day. Those two tracks, not the rest of the record. So Larry McKenna, who's a first teacher of mine, he's on the record at that same session. Then on the main band, for lack of better words, Robert Hurst, who I've been a fan of for years and looking for an opportunity to play. Like, you know, you used to say, I'd see him and we're going to threaten, we're going to play together. It almost felt like a threat, you know, and then we luckily got a chance to do it. Marvin Smitty Smith, who I've loved for years, is on drums, and he's been on the West Coast for so long, so I haven't had a chance to play with him, and this was a beautiful opportunity. Gary Thomas, who I've admired for so many years through not only just the M-bass sound, but he just has a very unique sound and message to tell, especially on the flute. So it's just a great opportunity to play with him. And then my brother Nicholas Payton. And then Jasmia Horn is on one tune, and Alita Moses is on one tune singing. So it's a party, you know, and Cy Smith is on the tune. So, and then that's everybody on it. It's just, and Buster Williams, sorry.
Oh, all right.
Buster Williams two tunes with Larry McKenna. So for me, you know, playing music is a blessing, and I never want it to stress me out. You know, I want it to be a party. My parents used to throw parties all the time, little cabarets. My mother would set up chairs and make the house look like a restaurant, and then, you know, have someone come over. Just parties and have fun and live life. So every record I do, that's what I try to do. Have a party in the studio, you know. And when I say that, it's not that the music isn't serious. It's not that we're not serious, but I want to leave a record day and say I have a really good time. Now, I also want to leave and say I played that music great, but I want to say I had a really good time, because if I don't, I might as well work somewhere else, you know, and have a quote unquote regular job. But I'm blessed to play music, so I want to have fun, and that's what this record and every other record and all of those people on the record are about.
Listen now to Wheezy. Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about the business of being in this music business.
Mm-hmm.
And you are mostly self-produced?
Yep.
Okay. Let's talk. I always like to keep the audience informed on what we have to go through.
Exactly.
As artists, so that we get supported in those little tiny spots on the internet. Let's talk about that and how you are navigating the waters.
I guess it's funny you said the word supported, and I guess it's my ego to a certain extent. I believe what I'm offering, it should be a part of your diet. You know, music should already be a part of your diet. You know, I remember the radio station in Philly had a commercial that Bill Cosby used to do for the jazz station, and he'd say, "This is your life without music," and it'd be about a minute of silence on the radio. So you're driving and you're looking around like, "What happened to my radio?"
I remember something like that, hearing it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And you start to realize how important music is. So my goal really is just to reiterate how important it is for everybody to get their daily dose of vitamin M, and that's music. So instead of me asking them to support what I do, my goal is to convince them that they should want this. You know, it's like I know my music, not my music, but the music is special. I know it heals. I know it saves. I know it comforts. I know that music in general is just, it's a beautiful thing. So my goal is just to keep doing it so that more and more people are like, I want that, you know, and not worry about the big engine. You know, I'm going to keep playing whether you give me the gig or not. I'm going to keep playing whether you give me the record deal or not. And in my 30 years almost of doing this, I've never had a major record deal. I'm on Smoke Sessions now, and I run my record label, but I've never had a major record deal, but I just keep on going. You know, I didn't have a booking agent until 2 years ago. I did all, everything else was on my wife and I. So the whole point is, no matter what, I know what I'm cooking up tastes good to sit down at the table. You know, whoever you are, whether you're a big record label or whatever, I know what I'm cooking up is good. It's not because I think my music is that special. I think music is special. So my whole goal is come to the table and sit down. And I guarantee you won't, if you sit down, you won't want to get up. That's my whole thing.
All right. And we've talked about it in many different ways. You've already told us what keeps you going. But in moving forward, is there anything else you have in mind? You know, down the line, I'd like to do.
You know, my goal is to have a venue. I want to have a jazz club and but also do lessons in schools. You know, within if one big building, there's a jazz club and then there's lessons upstairs. That's my goal. You know, I love being on the road. I'm not one that wants to not be on the road, but I would love to have something like that. My oldest is 30 years old now, and my youngest is 25, and they're both two young men that I know could work well with me and my wife and building something. So my goal is to really deal with legacy, you know, and what am I going to leave? You know, thankfully my parents have, you know, boxes of plays that my father wrote, and then they were published and performed, so I can see them, I can look online and learn about my father, even though I lived with him, but I can learn stuff I didn't know. I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't know that happened because I was only five when that happened, you know, and my kids can look back and see who their grandfather was. And I want to do that, but in a different sense where it's like, you know, let's say I call my club, I'm put it out in the universe right now, I call my club Uncle O's, because that's a lot of people call me Uncle O. So Uncle O's, I want to be around 50 years from now, Uncle O's, and with my either grandsons or my sons running it. That's what I want to do. I just want to continue the legacy of creating and presenting music and have something for everybody to do, for it to be, you know.
All right. Now, how can people find you on the net for those who don't have the opportunity to get to a jazz festival?
Yep. Well, OrinEvansMusic.com. And I'm glad you said that because it just reminds me I need to update it. That's the part that people don't realize as a, you know, when you're doing all your work on your own, it's like, oh, shoot, did I put the dates up on my website? Did I change my picture? You know, and so OrinEvansMusic.com. And then I'm on all the social media things. I'm definitely out there for people to find. And I like having, I do enjoy social media and having that way because the Jazz Train wouldn't have happened without social media. So I love those opportunities to be seen. And it was great during the pandemic. Those things help, you know, stay alive and connect with people that you couldn't see. So I'm always there. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and OrinEvansMusic.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for
spending
time here in the Jazz Room.
Appreciate it.
Finally, here is Phoebe's Stroll. This ends part two of our interview with pianist-composer Orin Evans. Learn more about him at orinevans.com. come to the end of another show. Thank you for spending time here with us in the Jazz Room. You may see photographs of Orrin Evans and many, many more jazz artists on the Jazz Room page of my website, JoanWatsonJones.com. Until next time, you've been in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones.